Lesson for tonight. Before I get started, our exams are next week, correct? Yeah. We got exams next week, and our exam is going to be on chapter 10. All right, so, of course, open book. So that means you're going to have to read, but it will be open book, all right? So tonight we will start chapter 10. So I'm going to pray and we'll go ahead and get started. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for this training center. Thank you for all the instructors. Father, particularly thank you for the visionary of this school, Apostle Thompson. Thank you for his vision. Thank you for the grace, the favor, the anointing that you've placed on this particular school. May every student, every instructor receive, not only those that are here in Darrell, but those that are watching by internet across the world. We give you all the glory, all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Tonight we're going to deal with the purpose of covenant. And we're going to read 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and I think it's the 12th verse. So I'm going to start off with that one for a particular reason. It may seem like you won't understand how this particular scripture will begin to explain what I'm talking about, the purpose of covenant. But if you stick with me, you'll eventually see where it fits in. 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. And the 12th verse. What a 17th verse. 1 Corinthians 4:17. I probably will revisit this scripture later on in the class again. It says, this is Paul talking, and he's saying, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in the church." So Timothy, to give you scenarios, Paul talking to the Corinthians, and Paul was telling the Corinthians in a letter, "I'm sending Timothy to you, who is my beloved son." The word beloved is important there, because he didn't say this is my son, this is my beloved son, or trusted son, or for lack of a better word, a favorite son. I'm sending him to you because he's going to, another translation says, remind you of the things that I'm teaching to all churches, all the surrounding churches. Now, when we talk about the purpose of covenant, we're going to look at seven different points for the purpose of covenant. But when it's all said and done, what's supposed to happen is a measure of favor or special treatment needs to rest on our lives that come from somebody else. That's the whole purpose of one of the purpose. That's really the culmination of covenant. It's transference. The seven points we're going to go through, you're going to see, is all about transference. So there's no reason to connect to somebody if there's no transference that can take place. If this person can't make me better, what's the purpose? Are you seeing this? So I started off with that. Go with me to John, the 13th chapter. A covenant relationship is not just about marriage, and that's what we're most familiar with. When we talk about covenant, we think about marriage, we think about husband and wife, but it's not just confined to that. Covenant goes much further than human connection. Covenant is much more about spiritual connection than anything. We must get beyond flesh connections, get beyond, listen to me, internet, get beyond immediate results and begin to look for long-term results when it comes to covenant. Covenant is built within a relationship, but it's built upon God's agape love of sacrifice. Listen to me, sacrifice. We just got to talk about the spirit of sacrifice last week. Sacrifice, honor, and integrity. Jesus commanded us to love one another. Now the commandment that Jesus gave us for us to love one another, Jesus gave that commandment, and he called it one of the greatest commandments. He gave that commandment after he got Judas out of the room. I don't have time to go to tonight, but when Jesus, the Last Supper, he's getting ready to really tell his disciples, who were all going to become apostles. I want you to understand this. Don't get the part about them becoming apostles. I want you to understand the part about them becoming, having more favor because of their connection to Jesus. In other words, they all were disciples and they were getting ready to move up a level in their workmanship or their calling or the grace because of their connection to Jesus. Purpose of covenant, all right? Jesus getting ready to eat with them. And Jesus said, you know, hey, I know who's going to betray me. Whoever going to do it, go ahead and do what you're going to do. That's when Judas got up and left. And Jesus did not give them one of the greatest commandments until Judas left. Now, this is important. Jesus does not, and watch this, this is a precedent that was set by Jesus. Realize now, Jesus is on the earth in human form. Right? He's doing this. So Jesus wanted to make sure that he got everybody out of the room who wasn't for him before he released his secrets. Are you seeing this? So watch this. This is why worship is so important. We worship God because worship brings us into intimacy with God. It brings us close to God. Whenever we begin to worship, it causes us to get close to God and get close enough to God so God can see in. Now, God already knows what's in us, but he can actually see in us what's in us along with what we see in us, and he can rectify a change and reconcile us back to himself. Are you seeing this? So in order for you to get into the deep secrets of God, you're going to have to listen to me. You're going to have to understand there's going to have to be intimacy. Going to have to be intimacy. If a covenant without intimacy is irrelevant, you must have intimacy. So Jesus did not tell the disciples who was going to be apostles, he didn't tell them to love one another till after Judas left. Why? Because he didn't want them giving a one-way street to Judas, and Judas wasn't about that way with them. Are you seeing this? See, we all, once again, I'm going to say something I said earlier when we first started class. We understand covenant with God. A lot of us understand covenant with God. But what we don't understand is covenant with each other. Covenant with each other that will allow all of our abilities and all of our talents come together to build kingdom. There was a question that was, I read an article and this gentleman asked a question. He ran a poll in a couple of churches. He didn't go far, he just two or three churches. And he asked the people in the church this one specific question. What's the purpose of the church? What's the purpose of the church? And 84% of the people that he polled said the purpose of the church is to meet my needs. So now we're produced. So now because of that, pastors were now forced to try to meet the needs of the people instead of pastor apostolically. Pastoring apostolically means we're going to get the people well so that they can build kingdom. Are you seeing this? See, Once again, we have to get rid of that self-centric idea of church, the self-centric idea of kingdom. There must be honor, there must be sacrifice made in covenant. If those things are not made, then the covenant will be fruitless. Watch this. As long as the satanic seeds of offense, discord, and betrayal are within the hearts of the people, love, unity, and covenant cannot be kept and practiced. Notice it's satanic seeds of discord and offense. Other words, it's up to you when things are not going your direction, it's up to you to stop Satan from dropping those thoughts in your mind that will bring up, that will cause you to cause any kind of discourse or be offended. Do you know every time, no matter what, how somebody treats you, it's up to you whether you get mad or not? No, listen to me. No matter what anybody does to you, it's up to you whether or not you're going to be offended. Nobody has the power to make you offended without you choosing to be offended. I was interviewing a group of us was sitting there talking to a mom and a daughter, Ms. Audrey Price and her daughter, Gwen Price. We were interviewing them the other day because it's five people I learned. You learn something new. I learned that there were five people that are still here that originally started out with Apostle Thompson. And we found out three other people that we got to go really interview to find out what happened at the beginning. But make a long story short, she said something in the interview that I know it's a profound statement. Didn't seem like a profound statement, but when I heard her, it was a profound statement, because here it is. This lady's been with Apostle for 40 plus years, and nothing, no decision he made, nothing shook her stance, shook her foundation. Nothing he did. Sometimes he might have said something wrong. None of it shook her. This is what she told us. I need you to hear this. She made this statement. She said, if Apostle, she said at the time pastor, would come along and say something that I didn't understand, I would put it on the shelf. I put it on the shelf. I didn't let nobody come talk to me about it. I didn't let nobody come discuss it with me. All I told him is, I don't understand it. If you want no more, you go talk to pastor. Because she said, if I didn't understand, I'm going to talk to pastor. So she said, put it on the shelf. She said there are things that she put on the shelf and she left there, and after a while was able to go back and get them and see the direction they were going in. See, that is important. That's what covenant is about. Covenant is about trust, and it's about having confidence that I heard the voice of God to be connected to this person, and God wouldn't connect me to this person if God's hand wasn't on them. See, the problem is a lot of people all over the country and in the world are in churches with whom God's hand is not upon. Do you know there are churches that are going through the motions that God don't recognize? And it is one simple reason why God don't recognize them. He doesn't recognize them because they're not apostolic. They have no lineage. They have no human witness. Are you seeing this? But she said, whatever I didn't understand, I put it on the shelf and I left it there until I was able to go back, get it, and understand it. So a lot of times in covenant with our leaders, they're going to say and do things that we don't clearly understand. That don't mean that we need to jump off the boat or jump off the train. That means we just need to stay put, see what's going on, ride it out, and ask the Lord, Lord, what is my part in this? When you put things on the shelf, other words, what she was really saying is, I don't understand what apostle or at the time pastor is doing. When I put it on the shelf, When you put a when I put a book on my bookshelf in my office or at my home, that's my bookshelf, my office bookshelf, that's my bookshelf, that's my book. So what I'm really saying is nobody can come borrow this book or talk to me about this book unless I give them permission. So literally what she was saying is when I put it on the shelf, that means don't nobody come talk to me about it. That means this is not up for discussion. This is only for us to adhere to. And if we have questions, which questions, no problem. I'm not going to ask you the question. I'm going to ask the person who gave the directive the question. And, oh, let me tell you a secret. It's no problem with questioning authority. The issue is, where do you question authority? Let me teach you a secret. There's nothing wrong with having questions or not understanding, but the time to ask the question is not in front of other people to make yourself look good. Come on, now hear me. See, if Miriam had a problem with Moses, who he married, she shouldn't have brought it to the people. She should have pulled Moses behind closed doors and questioned Moses. Are you seeing this? Behind closed doors to where there is no sense of me trying to shine in front of other people. So you can always catch the people that won't ask these questions and ask the question stuff, and they won't do it in front of people. Why you couldn't ask that question behind closed doors? Because it might be only you with that question. Are you seeing this? Yeah. The satanic system of Babylon shall not and will not permeate through the boundaries of the true church. Other words, the discord, the things that break covenant down, the questions being asked in the public, trying to stir something up. God took Abraham on a journey of faith, but it was established on a covenant and not just a promise. It was established on a lifelong relationship, not just one encounter. There are seven purposes for establishing covenant relationship. We're going to make it through probably one or two tonight. And the first one is for a new level of relationship and intimacy. Turn with me to John 3:16. Very familiar scripture. John 3:16. We most of us know this by heart, but we need to read it. Most of us know it by heart, but you need to see this so that. Intimacy and relationship. Now, when you come to a point of intimacy in a relationship, that means you have passed an acquaintance stage. That means that you have some level of knowledge about this particular person, this leader. But when you come to a level of intimacy, John 3:16 gives us a level of intimacy that is unmatched. Here it is. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, that scripture is familiar. Most of the time, that's how we heard about the salvation, heard about getting born again. But I want you to notice what it said. It says, "For God so loved the world." So that means God has already opened himself up to intimacy. Yes. He's already opened himself up to intimacy. How we know he already opened himself up to intimacy? Listen a minute. He opened himself up to intimacy because he gave his most prized possession. Gave his son. Watch this. He gave his son to a world which he wasn't guaranteed that was going to accept him. So God is wide open for intimacy. Wide open. Those, now I said to say this, those who have not walked in intimacy with God in a covenant relationship will not desire covenant with mankind. If you haven't walked in, this is why worship is so important. I talked about earlier, this is why worship is so important. Because worship, not worship in church. Let's get that straight. Not worship in church, worship at your house. Worship at home, where ain't nobody but you and God, you and your non-singing self. Oh, I should say about me, me and my non-singing self. I can't sing. Well, it sounds well. To God, I can sing. I mean, it sounds beautiful to Him when I sing. So I don't care what y'all think. That's what I'm sticking with. But the worship brings you to a point of openness with God. You know, we're the church are considered the bride. Jesus is considered the bridegroom. There has to be intimacy. See, what happens is a lot of times we talk about the church of the bride and Jesus the bridegroom. We're looking at that from a earth to heaven perspective. But I need you to see it from a heaven to earth perspective, which means it's just simply saying that you have to have an intimate relationship with God before you ever be able to have a full intimate relationship with another human. You can't have intimate relationship with another person if you haven't been intimate with God. If you can't, because see, watch this. The intimacy, thank you, Holy Spirit. The intimacy from two human beings is not to complete each other. The intimacy from two human beings are to be synergized for further advancement. One can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. Are you seeing this? But our intimacy with God is for God to fix in us what's broken. See, that's why we can't look to other people to fix what's broken in us. Only God can fix what's broken in us. So I can't look for no wife to complete me. No, before I married Chantel, I was complete. Before she married me, she was complete. So we put forces together and we become a force for the kingdom, to advance the kingdom. It ain't time to be fixing on each other. So she didn't take me on as a construction project, and I didn't take her on as a construction project. The construction project should have happened before we met. Are y'all seeing this? So learn to see that now. Our intimacy with God is for God to fix in us what's broken. That's why when we worship God, we spend time with God. That's why we renew our minds with the Word of God. It's causing us to get out everything that will stop us from being at full capacity for Him. Intimacy is important. If you don't have time, worship is the backbone of the apostolic. Other words, without us having intimacy with God, it would be impossible for us to work together apostolically. It would be impossible for us to have covenant together. Why? Because I can't come into a covenant broken. See, when I come into a covenant broken, I'm be looking for the other party to fulfill what I need, and the only person can fulfill what I really need is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Is this making sense? So I have to realize that intimacy with God is important. I have to take time to worship God. I have to take time to tell God how much He means to me, so that God can turn around and tell me how much I mean to Him. And say, and not only tell me how much I mean to Him, but then He begins to tell me, hey, change this. I need you to start doing this. I want you to stop doing this. I want you to begin doing this. Until we have the intimacy with God, we cannot have intimacy with each other. Covenant brings two people into a level of intimacy and closeness that allows them to cooperate with each other for strength. Do you see that? So that means if I'm coming into covenant with somebody else, they have some strength that I don't have, and I have some strength that they don't have. If we combine them together, then they'll benefit from the strength that I have, and I'll benefit from the strength they'll have. Right? So now, but what if I come to a relationship broken? That means I haven't allowed God to show me my strengths. That's really what fixing you is about. God showing you your strengths. God really revealing to you who you are. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. That's God, what he's thinking about you. You need to know those thoughts. You need to see why God put you here. You need to understand why God designed you the way he designed you. So when you understand how God designed you, then it's easy for you to honor and respect how God designed somebody else. Are you seeing this? They become not just mutually beneficial to each other, but as the intimacy increases, it provides a greater place of safety and protection. Those in covenant are passionately consumed with each other's welfare and well-being. Are you see that? They're consumed with each other's welfare and well-being. People in covenant begin to create avenues to help provide whatever is needed for their partner's progress and success. Whenever there is a maturity of covenant, there is an unusual level of relationship that is deep and meaningful. Here's why intimacy is so important. Listen, here's why intimacy is so important. The power of such a level of relationship provides strength to stay together and finish together to the end. Do you know why there's church hopping? And it's not all the people's fault. It's not. Sometimes we make a mistake and join a church that's not apostolically recognized. That's not under government. So therefore, they go through the motions of church. They praise and worship look the same. They preach, sometimes they might be able to preach the same notes. Sometimes they do the altar call the same way. Sometimes they have some of the same type functions, but there is no power. Yeah. See, I said it earlier in our class, the power of God does not operate outside of his government. So therefore, when people church hop, they're really looking for the power of God that's only available to an apostolic or God-governed church. So what happens when you actually find a God-governed apostolic church, you shouldn't even be looking for nowhere else. It's no reason to go anywhere else. Because no matter what you go through in life, and we go through things, when you're under an apostolic governed church, it is impossible for you to stay in that situation without a God-given solution. But the reason why people church hop is because, and it's not, and once again, it's not the people's fault. Sometimes they accidentally join a church that looked like. And so when they get there, they realize, I ain't getting nothing else here, so I got to go. Because truly, go to Psalms, the first chapter. Because truly, this is how covenant is supposed to be. Psalms, the first chapter. Psalms, the first chapter. Psalm, the first chapter. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Verse 3 is what I was trying to get to. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. A tree that is planted. Not a tree that is potted. A tree that is planted by the rivers of living water. The Holy Spirit. Rivers of living water. Can't flow outside of the banks designed for it to flow in. It cannot. So if I'm going to be a tree, I need to be planted by the rivers of living water. Ain't no sense to be going to plant myself at no dry brook. That's what people do. Here's what people do. Because of ego and self-centeredness, they will plant themselves by a dry brook just so they can look like they're a tree flourishing. I got a better example than that. I got a better example. Here's what people do in ministry. Instead of them standing by a tree, instead of by a river of living water flowing, they want to disconnect themselves because they look fruitful now. Why they look fruitful? Because they've been where they're at, right? So what happened is they rather unroot themselves and go plant by a dry brook, and they will look for a while. But then when that rivers of living water are the power of the Holy Spirit, who can't flow anywhere else but what God has ordained, then they wither up. Are you seeing this? Covenant is supposed to be to the end. It's till death do us part. We put that back in the marriage vows. We know we got a word of faith. The word death. We don't say the word death. That's a bad confession. But then we found out that when you take it out, people ain't really committed as they used to be. So bad confession or not, we put it back in. Are you seeing this? It's to the end. It's not something. That's why you should. That's why we can't casually come into covenant. You can't just jump into a covenant. You can't just do this because it's the end thing to do. This has to be something that you commit to because this is forever. Only a covenant relationship gives us the strength of intimacy so that we can stay connected and committed till death do us part. Ain't that what I just said? So intimacy is important. You cannot get to an intimate place in covenant with your leader until you get to an intimate place with God. God, you must become intimate with him first, then it makes it easier. Could be why? Because now you understand God. You understand who he is. You understand how he functions. When you understand how he functions. See, I always tell people, it's wonderful for your spiritual leader, your apostle, to speak a word to you. It's wonderful. But it is wonderful when God talks to you. When God speaks to you, can't nobody take that from you. When you know you've heard the voice of God and God's spoken to you, can't nobody take that from you. Can't nobody get that from you. Whenever you know it's the voice of God, sometimes the voice of God will come directly through your spiritual leader. When you know it's God, everybody else can do what they want to do. This was for me. Second purpose of covenant is for an increase of promised blessing. When God promised Abraham to become his exceeding great reward, He was assuring Abraham, watch this, when he said, I'm your exceeding great reward, he said something else. Turn to Genesis, the 15th chapter. He said, your ever-increasing reward. And he said something else. What he said? Genesis, the 15th chapter. Because I want you to see something here. Very first verse. He said, I am thy shield. That's what he said. And thy exceeding great reward. Now, for me, it's strange that right after that, the very second verse, Abraham questioned God about something. Look at this. He said, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham, first verse, in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. So now, these words are this statement or this decree or declaration that God said to Abram must mean more than us just reading it. Here's why. Verse 2. Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? Now, wait a minute. God told Abraham, I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward, right? Then Abraham immediately turns around and says, God, what you going to do? What kind of seed you going to give me, seeing that I go childless? So from that statement, we can see that covenant is for favor. When God spoke to Abraham, the first thing crossed, because watch this, when God speaks, when he says something, it goes generations. Once God releases a word to somebody, anybody, watch this, when God releases a word, especially to our spiritual leaders, whoever is connected to them gets the same promises. So the first thing Abraham was saying, God, I know when you said this, this is going to go beyond me. So if it's going to go beyond me, you got to give me somebody that I can train, that can know how to live within your parameters to keep receiving this favor. Make this statement to you. Favor is different than anointing. Or it's two different beasts. Anointing and favor is not the same thing. I know people that are anointed but ain't got no favor. Now it's possible. It's impossible for you to have favor and not be anointed, but it's possible for you to have anointing and not be favored. I'm going to say it again. It's possible for you to be anointed and not have favor, but it's not possible for you to be favored and not be anointed. Did everybody get that? Favor is just simply God's hand is on you and things happen because God's hand is on you. Anointing is a tool simply to remove birds that destroy yokes. Are you seeing this? So don't just stop at trying to be anointed. You want to have favor. Now watch this. When people talk about I got favor, or favor is on me, you can just first of all look at their lives. Just look at their lives. And you can see if favor is on their life or not. Because when you have favor in your life, things happen for you that don't happen for everybody else. When a person says they have favor, things happen for them that don't happen for everybody else. Because the reason why I say that, And people might get all super religious and it ain't worth. Listen, I'm tired of people playing church and I'm tired of people not realizing where the rubber hits the road. Listen, at some point, this supernatural stuff got to affect the natural. So you can have all the supernatural favor you want, but at some point it got to be natural to where it makes something change in this earth realm on your behalf. You get me? Here's where we're talking about grace, because grace is another word for favor. We all talk about the grace of God and how God has graced us and different things of that nature. But let me tell you this. God calls you, but you receive your grace from man. I'm going to say that again. God calls you, but you receive your grace from man. Do y'all need me to prove it? I can. Genesis the 14th chapter. Genesis the 14th chapter. Genesis the 14th chapter, the latter part of that chapter, I don't know exactly what verse it is. After Abraham had won the battle, come back, the Bible says he gave tithe. What verse is that? To Melchizedek. 15? 18? And he said, and what did he say about Melchizedek? The king of Salem. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the Bible said he gave him tithe of all, right? Notice who blessed Abraham. God made all, God had told him what we were going to do. God called him. God the one told him he was mother and father. God told him, I'm going to be your exceeding great reward. But notice who put favor on him. Melchizedek. You see this? We talked about it last. I don't know exactly where it is. First Kings. Remember we talked about God told Elijah to do three things, but only wound up doing one. There's one particular scripture where God told Elijah, he told him to do three things. I want you to anoint one man to be king over this area, another man to be king over this area, and I want you to get Elisha. Mm-hmm. Watch this, and anoint him to be a prophet in thy house. Mm-hmm. Here is God telling one man to go find another man and anoint him to be prophet in thy house. Mm-hmm. So he was called by God, but who anointed him? You see, are you seeing this? See, you may be called by God, but the grace going to have to come apostolically who you held accountable to, another human. That's what I meant by your grace going to come from a man or a woman. Why did God set it up that way? Why did he set it up that way? He set it up that way so that as people connect to us, everybody increases. If you don't connect, you can't increase. If you don't want to be held accountable, you don't need no increase. Abraham, that's why Abraham was so dogmatic to God about an offspring. Because he said, I don't want to give it to Eleazar. Why? Eleazar was not born in my house. So therefore, I can't train him how to walk in his favor. To a certain degree, Eleazar is only, listen to me, Eleazar is only obedient to me because I'm paying him a salary. There is something besides true love that's holding Eleazar to me. But if I can get a son, then I can raise him, a son that's born in my house, then I can raise him so that I can teach him your ways and teach him how to walk in this favor. Because God, you didn't speak to me. See, God, when God spoke to those that we connect to, our spiritual leaders, God was speaking to them, not only for themselves, but for us. But here's the thing. It's our choice whether or not we want to be able to receive of that grace. Didn't Paul tell, I believe it was the Corinthians, be partakers, no, it was Philippians, be partakers of my grace. I think it's Philippians, the fourth chapter. He said, be partakers of my grace. Wait a minute now. What happened to the grace of God? It is the grace of God given to Paul, who's the one who holding who gonna hold everybody accountable. Is this making sense? See, so when God allow us to come into covenant, especially with our spiritual leader, when he allows us to come into covenant, it's giving us a chance to have the same increased promises that they have. Same thing that's happened to them happened to us. Now watch this. Thank you, sir. It is relative. What I mean by relative is relative. The exact same thing not going to happen to you because you don't have. Quick example. We have cattle, and I noticed that when I go to, I pull up one time to the stockyard in my BMW. I got a BMW 750. I had to run some errands, and then I had to bring a check to the stockyard, meet a guy who bought a cow for me. I had to bring a check to the stockyard. When I got to the stockyard, I pull up in the BMW. Nobody looked at my BMW. Nobody. Not that I was looking for somebody looked at it, but it's a luxury car. It's a nice car. Usually people are looking at it. Nobody looked at it. The next week, I had to go back to the stockyard. I rode in a Ford F-350 dually. I pull up in that Ford F-350 dually, and everybody stopped looking, and they look at the truck and kind of look on, and they look and had a couple of guys walk around the truck. What's my point? All our desires are not the same. So when I get connected to my spiritual leader, the same thing exactly, the result's not going to happen, but whatever my desires are, that same grace that is on them is going to come on me and fulfill the desires that I like. Are you seeing this? So it's not me connected to a person because I get exactly what they got. I want the favor that's on their life. So if I want the favor on their life, I have to become intimate with them. I have to have the same concerns. I have the same dislikes. I have to have the same likes. What I mean by dislikes? Does it mean personality? No. I'm talking about I'm for the kingdom. Whatever they don't like in the kingdom, I don't like in the kingdom. Whatever they like in the kingdom, I like in the kingdom. Whatever they stand against, I stand against. Whatever they stand for, I stand for. Are you seeing this? And so it caused covenant intimacy to be developed. When an intimacy is developed, then we all get raised for increased of promised blessings. Are you seeing this? Next week we have our exam. So the exam is on chapter 10, all right? Chapter 10, internet, chapter 10. It is open book. All right. That means just because I didn't cover everything tonight, that means you need to go ahead, hint, read the chapter. Read the chapter. Don't wait the exam week to read the chapter. Read a chapter now. Read a chapter this week. So that when you go through now, you start seeing the questions that come through or the fill in the blank answers, you'll say, oh, I remember where this statement is. Let me go and find it. All right. So it's on chapter 10. All right. So we have exams next week. We come back the following week. We'll pick up in chapter 10 where we left off tonight. We have five more. Y'all have a good night.